This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great and fateful week involving the oral arguments on the abortion issue, the issue of what's going to be done about that Mississippi law. It's not really a debate about Roe v. Wade. It's about accepting or rejecting the way that the legislature, the state of Mississippi, representing the people, the elected representatives, have chosen to regulate the practice of abortion in their state. So what do we learn from the oral arguments? We'll talk about that with Andy McCarthy, a contributing editor at National Review and a fellow at National Review Institute, Fox News contributor, best-selling author, and most importantly, a former chief assistant U.S. attorney, a veteran prosecutor. And, Andy, if you don't mind, before I get to your article and your observations on this abortion issue, I want to use your background as a prosecutor to talk about some of these stunning developments in this Michigan case about Ethan Crumbley, the 15-year-old who murdered four of his classmates in a horrible school shooting, which has an unprecedented aspect because the adults have been charged alongside him at counts of manslaughter. But here's the amazing thing. I don't know if you've been following the news. The adults are now fugitives. They've called in the FBI to try to find them. Had you heard about that?
I just did read about that in the Guardian, Michael, because I was I'm writing about this for National Review. I think, first of all, it's way too early to say that they were on the lam. They were just, like, indicted or charged about 5 minutes ago.
Well, they're supposed to be arraigned about 5 minutes ago.
Right, but the point being, though, first of all, there's a dragnet out for them as if they had planned and carried out this attack, which to my mind is really overkill, and it's totally unnecessary. It's one thing to say that because of speedy trial considerations and the fact that this kid who did the shooting, Ethan Crumbley, the fact that he has to be charged right away because he's in custody, because that's the way the law works. One of the unfortunate consequences of that, but it's just necessary under the way the law works, is that you often have to charge these cases at a time when emotions are very raw and feelings are very raw. That's not the same situation as the parents. They could have waited on this and thought it through. And I would simply point out to people that I think these parents conducted themselves appallingly. I think that they're looking at significant civil liability. But in Michigan, they have proposed laws several times to charge parents for not securing firearms, and the legislature has refused to enact those laws. And the prosecutors came out today and said that these people were conducted themselves criminally in part because they left a gun in their home without putting a safety clip on it and separating the ammunition from the gun. Whether they like it or not, that's not unlawful to do. And the criminal law is supposed to be enacted by the legislature so that it's clear to everybody in the society of ordinary intelligence what the law is and what's prohibited. It's not supposed to be made up by prosecutors on the fly when feelings are very, very raw like they are now.
What do you make of the evidence that apparently is out in the press, it's everywhere, about the text messages that Crumbley's mother, I think it's Jennifer Crumbley, sent to him in the week that he was having trouble in school and that he was clearly having violent ideation. He had left drawings on his desk at school showing guns and blood and bullets and saying, "Please help me, the thoughts won't stop." Which is almost like the idea that he wrote that and a teacher saw it and they called in the parents. All of this is, it's different from other school shootings. He had literally left a meeting with his parents and the principal of the school warning about his violent thoughts, and he went directly into the bathroom, took his gun out of the backpack, and came out shooting.
Yeah, I think it's horrifying. And I also think that, you know, you could, if you want to extend the logic of what they've done here, why haven't they indicted the school officials? You know, the school officials let the kid go back to class, notwithstanding that they had, I mean, obviously they didn't know what the parents knew about the fact that they had a new gun in the house, but they knew this kid was troubled. I read one report in the Times that the New York Times that said that, the parents did not remove the kid from school that day. They preferred to let him go back to class. Well, it takes two to tango. The school let him go back to class too. Everybody seems to have dropped the ball here, and I think they will pay a price for it, and they should pay a price for it. What I'm narrowly talking about is that you're not supposed to make up criminal law and crimes on the fly. And we have to be able to say it's totally appropriate for this kid to be facing, you know, multiple life counts of murder in addition to scores of years on attempted murder and the use of a firearm. That's all appropriate. And the decision to charge him as an adult is completely within the discretion of the prosecutors. I don't think anybody should argue that that's inappropriate. But we're not supposed to make up crimes in a situation where, you know, we're all hot because of what happened here. If it hadn't happened, Michael, what would we say about, like, suddenly prosecuting the parents for something that the legislature had, it had been proposed to make criminal and they hadn't done it? And then the prosecutor turned around and made it a crime.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating point. I think it's a very important perspective. Has there been, I'm sure there will be, a new explosion of demands for new gun laws to make this behavior impossible, but that doesn't really work. I mean, what are you going to say, you can't give your son a gun as an advanced Christmas present? By the way, that's another interesting thing. Usually you give Christmas presents on Christmas, or because there's no evidence that they're observing Hanukkah in this family. Is there any understanding of a new legislative drive by foes of people who might not be sympathetic to the Second Amendment?
Yeah, well, the Michigan legislature, Michael, is apparently reconsidering these cap laws. It's called cap is child access prevention, I think is what it stands for. And there are a number of states that have these laws, but Michigan has considered and declined to enact them in the past. So I think those who push those laws think that there's some momentum for that. But, you know, this whole idea that it's a crime because the parents didn't secure the gun the way the prosecutors would have preferred them to secure the gun, I think if you enacted a law that said what the prosecutors should be a crime, you'd have very stiff Second Amendment headwinds on that.
Right. We will find out what happens, and let's hope that there's some misunderstanding rather than this couple becoming fugitives. They ran in another one of the British papers, says you were reading about this in The Guardian. In The Independent, they had a photograph of their family home, which was modest, neat, and had a big American flag in the front of it. We'll be right back with somebody who always salutes the American flag, great patriot, Andy McCarthy, former prosecutor. on the Supreme Court and abortion this week and what it means. Coming up on the MedVet Show. Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Well, if you're going to be home for Christmas, you're going to want some great Christmas presents. And you all have heard me talking about all of the advantages and the joys involved with membership in MedHead Plus, which gives you access to all the programs in our history store. for streaming for free anytime you want, and more. You can give that as a gift certificate as part of a holiday gift this fifth day of Hanukkah or on Christmas itself. Check it out at michaelmedved.com or at medvedhistorystore.com. We're making history with Andy McCarthy, who is a former U.S. attorney, a contributing editor at National Review, and has written about the oral arguments in the Mississippi abortion law case that the Supreme Court held this Wednesday. You share the general assumption that the court is leaning in sustaining the Mississippi law, right?
I do, Michael, although I'm not bought onto the idea that they are ready to trash Roe and Casey entirely.
Right, and I think there are a number of people, we were speaking about with David French about this, that they could very well simply sustain the law and ignore the general precedent of Roe, because you could even reconcile this particular rule with that aspect of Roe that before it was modified by Casey that acknowledged a right to restrain abortion during the second and third trimester.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think the ball we have to keep our eye on here is the fact that Mississippi asked the court to resolve three questions, which would have called for a wholesale examination of the Roe Casey body of jurisprudence, and the court declined to do that. So obviously, when whatever four justices, and I have to assume that they're four of the conservative justices who agreed to take this case, they had to have agreed to take it on the proviso that they would only take one of the four questions, which means they were already thinking about narrowing it. And I think it must be the conservative judges who decided to take it, because as far as the progressive judges are concerned, they'd rather have the status quo, because on this court, they have to calculate that any change in Roe jurisprudence is going to cut back on it, which they object to. So I have to suspect that the conservative side was thinking narrow when they took the case.
Okay, I think all of that is accurate. And what does it mean politically? Because, again, we're looking forward to a judgment that is going to come out in June or July. And that's the best guess. At the very heart of the midterm elections. And is the impact of this going to vault abortion to the center of the political debate? And is that, as some people are predicting, actually has the potential of helping the Democrats? What is your perception?
My view is it helps the Democrats more now than it would after a decision. I think if the decision is the kind of narrow one that I'm predicting, and by the way, it's not what I want, it's what I think will happen, I think that'll be demoralizing for conservatives who sense there's a chance to finally get rid of this awful body of law. As far as the left is concerned, I've been convinced for a long time, Michael, that this is very good for them in terms of agitation and demagoguery while this case is brewing. But what's going to happen when Roe finally does end up on the dustbin of history, whenever that finally happens, what people are going to realize is all this hysterical talk is just that hysterical, because all that will happen is that abortion will be returned to the states, and it won't be the earthquake that the left has predicted. So I think it's going to be a lot like a lot of other things where progressives tell us the sky is falling, and then the thing happens and we find out that, you know, it's not falling after all.
Yeah, and by the way, and people should understand that if this case goes in the direction of sustaining the Mississippi law and allowing broader leeway in regulating abortion, a medical procedure, that it wouldn't end abortion or legal abortion anywhere, not anywhere.
Right.
I'm certainly not in Mississippi, where they give very broad latitude, not only for the first 15 weeks of pregnancy, but they give broad latitude in terms of the life of the mother and other exceptions to the abortion rules that they have on the books. How have you found some of the commentary on this? What has struck me has been that the exchange of ideas actually showed almost a resignation on the part of, for instance, the Solicitor General of the United States and the others making the case to defend Roe v. Wade.
I think it's a difficult position for them to be in, one that they deserve to be in, but it's a difficult position to be in when what you're arguing to a court is that stare decisis, which is this doctrine of law that says that we have to respect precedent, is the way to go in terms of analyzing how this case should come out, because what they're expressly saying is that even if something is wrongly decided, it's now been wrongly decided on the books for 50 years now, and therefore people have supposedly made their arrangements around it, and it shouldn't be disturbed. And when they argue this super precedent point, I think their position is particularly difficult, because what they're essentially saying is that the more egregiously wrong a precedent is, the less we can afford to change it, because otherwise people will say we're being political, when in fact we've gotten to this point because of politics all along for half a century.
Yeah, I just did a piece for Newsweek, which I think is going to be posted later today. But it makes the case that one of the things, terms that Justice Breyer used repeatedly was settled law, this is settled law. The irony is that when Roe was adjudicated in 1973, it unsettled the law tremendously. You had had 50 different states, all of whom had debated abortion. They had reached compromises and accommodations and details. They had a body of law. It was settled. There wasn't a great deal of agitation about the state of the law. There were 20 states that had already legalized abortion in some form. It was Roe that unsettled the law and created this national right-to-life movement, right?
That's exactly right. And look, for the settled law crowd, you know, there's a lot of talk about Plessy versus Ferguson, which obviously was overruled by Brown. But that was settled law at one time, and so was Dred Scott. So, you know, so much for settled law.
Yeah, and Plessy versus Ferguson was settled law for 58 years. Roe has been for 48 years so far. We'll be right back on the MedVed Show.
Place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
After a lackluster jobs report that did not come close to meeting economists' expectations, President Biden says the U.S. economy is in much better shape than it was a year ago.
Our economy is markedly stronger than it was a year ago. And today, the incredible news that our unemployment rate has fallen to 4.2%. At this point in the year, We're looking at the sharpest one-year decline in unemployment ever.
November had the lowest number of jobs created in 2021 at 210,000. Congress voted to prevent a partial government shutdown ahead of tonight's deadline. The bill will fund the federal agencies through the middle of February. President Biden is expected to sign it later on Friday. Lawmakers will now focus on keeping the nation from going into default. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Michael Medved Show. A few weeks ago, we covered a very disturbing story where officials in Seattle, Bellevue, and Kent, Washington, suddenly closed public schools to 98,000 students with only 3 days' notice. Well, what were the schools closed for? Because there apparently was a teacher shortage. And the untold story about that teacher shortage has been illuminated by the indispensable Washington Policy Center. This is why we need WPC. And the Washington Policy Center, which I'm proud to say is a helps with this show regularly, Washington Policy Center has a new piece from Liv Finney, who is the director of the Center for Education. So the real story behind these school closures and toward the teacher shortage, you say, connects directly with a mandate in this state in favor of critical race theory. Got that right?
Yes, that's right, Michael. The legislature and the governor signed a bill back in May, passed and signed a bill in May, creating a critical race theory training mandate for all the employees in the public schools. And this is had, I'm hearing reports, and that's what I wrote about in the blog, that teachers do not want to be teaching their children, their students, this false ideology that has come from radical professors in academia, that if you're a white child, you're somehow an evil racist, and if you're a black or brown child, you're somehow doomed to failure in our society, which is both of which are false. And teachers rightfully don't like this, and it's being forced on them.
We know it's controversial for parents, but the fact that it's controversial among teachers is actually very reassuring and maybe an indication that something needs to be done about this. You have an excellent description of what's wrong with critical race theory in your blog, which we've linked at our website. It's right at michaelmedved.com, so people should read it themselves. You explain that this curriculum mandated by the state of Washington, signed into law by Governor Inslee, says the curriculum instructs children that white students are oppressors and that their classmates are oppressed, and that a person's standing and success in life is based not on effort, merit, or character, but primarily on outward appearance, mainly the color of your skin. Is there evidence that most Washington schools are following this mandate?
It's shocking. There is lots and lots and lots of evidence that this is happening in the schools. I put it up on Twitter. I have looked at the websites of many school districts, and if you just type in the words diversity, equity, and inclusion, you will find the critical race theory mandate right there. They are teaching it. They are training teachers in this hierarchy of oppression matrix. They are dividing. They have, in the Bellevue Public Schools, for example, they're encouraging children to join groups, affiliates, they call them, groups of children that are of the similar race to them, to find allies in the struggle against the injustices of our society.
Oh, just great. Well, years after Brown versus School Board, which we were just talking about, after the end of school segregation, there is an effort to resegregate our schools.
Most definitely. This is what's happening in the schools right now, and that is why many teachers are retiring or moving to a private school that isn't teaching this false ideology.
And, right now, let's make it clear, because I know that people who defend the critical race theory say that it's necessary to make up for the years in which black history was not sufficiently covered in public schools and people downplayed the significance of slavery. Why is that not a valid critique of your position?
That is an attempt to change the subject. It's just a rhetorical trick. No opponent to critical race theory opposes the full teaching of our history, the racist part of it, and the foundation of our country, which was not based on racism, based on equality for all people, the history of slavery, the terrible things that happened during the years that we had slavery in our country, the Jim Crow laws that followed the civil rights, the restoration of, you know, free rights to every black man and woman after the Civil War by, you know, our great President Lincoln, the Jim Crow laws that kept in these oppressive discriminatory laws in place for many years after the Civil War, but then the Civil Rights Act of the 1960s and the tremendous improvement in the situation for black and black families in our nation as a result, and the great successes of many black brilliant intellectuals and individuals in our society. And now we have black leaders who are elected to Senate, to the presidency, to our city councils, our school boards, all over. So we do not have a system, a society that is institutionally racist. That is a falsehood. But they are trying to perpetrate this falsehood for the sake of grabbing power. Because this group of radical academics that are pushing this nonsense, it's not scholarship, Michael. It is not scholarship. It's a false ideology, and they've been very crafty and going through, you know, the long march of the institutions through the school system now to capture the minds of Americans and to teach them these wrong things. And
Is it important to stand up against it? I mean, one of the very basic misunderstandings, children are really being taught that slavery is an American invention, that it was developed in the United States, that the United States benefited more than anywhere else. And it's ridiculous. I was just reading recently, the center of the African slave trade was never America. 96% of all the captive Africans, and this is according to Henry Louis Gates, a leading black academic from Harvard, that 96% went elsewhere rather than 4% of all the slaves who were ever taken from Africa came to the United States. That doesn't mean that it's okay. It doesn't mean it should be ignored. But the role of America in this awful crime of slavery has been tragically distorted. And I'm so glad that Washington Policy Center is doing more on this. You owe it to yourself, if you have kids in school or if you're just a concerned citizen, to go to michaelmedved.com, go look for the banner. It's a big green banner for the Washington Policy Center. And then take a look at this piece, which is alarming. Any hope that something can be done about it, Liv?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are the parents. You just saw what happened in Virginia, where the parents rose up in protest in Loudoun County. They changed the course of that election. That is what is happening. A huge movement of parents has been mobilized because of the COVID school shutdowns. Everyone's eyes are clearly open on what's happening in the schools and who controls the levers of power in the schools. And parents don't like this. The public does not like this. And there are people rising up to fight it. And that's what we have in America. We have a democracy. We insist upon our leaders in putting in place what we want, not what they want.
Reflecting the will of the people. You read about it from Washington Policy Center. Liv Finn, thank you for your very good work, Finney. And appreciate your coming on the show. We will be right back with some complaints about the show coming up.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Well, it's Christmas time again. Decorations are on by the fire. Everybody's singing.
And on the Michael Medved Show, you can give us a call if you want to discuss any of the issues that we've been talking about today. 1-800-955-1776, or you can write us an email, and I'll try to get to as many of the emails that have come in this week as I can, because there certainly has been a great deal of controversial conversation earlier this week. I got a brief email, but a very challenging one, from Beth in L.A., in Los Angeles, and she says, I hear you often talk about God, she writes. That's fine, but what you say next is concerning and needs correction. Either intentionally or ignorantly, you refer to God as he. Saying God is a male is blatantly sexist and typical from a white male trying to frame God to your liking. How dare you? The proper pronoun for God is they, both male and female. She's relating to the fact that in the book of Genesis, where it says God created human beings, said both male and female created he them. She goes on to say call them they, both male and female. To say differently excludes others and slanders God. You can do better. Please fix this flaw in your language. This is not an issue that I haven't thought about, actually. And I don't acknowledge that referring to God in the traditional manner, and it's traditional for all translations and all versions of the Bible until a few radical rewritings of the Bible recently. Basically, what Bible translations try to do, and what we try to do when we speak about God, is speak from the source, from the text. And there's no question that in the original Hebrew, in which the Old Testament and the creation story was written, and this also goes to the Greek of the New Testament, when God is referred to, it's a male pronoun. Now, does that mean that God is a male when it says that God created people in his own image, that it means that we're talking about people with male equipment, and we're talking... No. There actually is a big teaching in Jewish understanding of the creation story that the reason there are basically two creation stories, with later, after man is created, male and female created God them, there's a later story for creation of Eve. And the mistranslation there about God taking a rib out of Adam's body and actually fastening woman out of that, it's not a rib, it's a side. In other words, God said that, the Bible says that God says that he believes it's not good for man to be alone. Therefore, he divides the human essence, which is male and female equally, separates them, and then the phrase makes sense that is right there in the Bible. It says, therefore, a man shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, which is the whole basis for marriage. It's reassembling the separation of male and female that was involved in the creation of different sexes. Now, okay, this brings us back to whether you use he, she, or they. The, I guess, most accurate way would be not to say they, because they implies more than one. And the very essence of Judaism and Christianity, even Trinitarian Christianity, is basically that God is one, oneness. And how you square oneness with they is complicated. The only thing I can tell you, Beth, is that, look, I think it's good. One of the purposes of the Bible, of biblical text, of studying biblical text, of all of it, is to raise questions. And you have raised a question. I just don't think that they or it, I mean, it, which is the non-gendered pronoun in English, and of course, not every language has a non-gendered pronoun. That's why in German, for instance, pronouns for inanimate objects are either male or female. And to try to mislead people about what the biblical source actually says, I don't think is going to work, nor is it particularly acceptable. There was an interesting comment on what we all experienced this morning in terms of the news that U.S. Representative Peter DeFazio, who's a Democrat from Oregon, is retiring, and he becomes the 19th retiree among the Democrats, which is not an indication of confidence. In his press conference today, Leader McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy, recovered from his 8.5-hour harangue speech before the budget-busting Build Back Better bill was passed by the House. He was asked about DeFazio's retirement, and he made, I think, a very important point. This is clip 11.
Another week, and a few more Democrats answer the question about retirement. But this week was a little different. It's not just any other Democrat announcing retirement. It was a committee chair. Now, when I look in this room, a lot of you have been here for a long time. You know, it's different when a committee chair announces retirement. When Mr. DeFazio announced, and when you look at the rationale between he and the budget chair, they said the exact same thing I say. They're not going to be in the majority the next time. I can't blame him for announcing retirement, but he is now the 19th Democrat to announce retirement. Put that in perspective. In the year of 2010, when Democrats lost 63 seats, 17 Democrats announced retirement. They've already surpassed that. I don't know if we're allowed to bet, but I'll bet any of you lunch that number will be higher before the year ends or before the filing ends next year?
Look, I think that's probably a good bet. There is a stampede toward retirement. And again, you can see it on lots of bases. I mean, certainly they are pessimistic about their prospects in the upcoming election. And what's fascinating to me is I mentioned earlier that there was a Democratic pollster, and he was actually interviewed by the New York Times about why it is that Democrats are so very worried about this upcoming election. And what Brian Stryker said is he was asked, if you're advising a Democratic client running in 2022, what do you tell them? And here's what he said. He doesn't tell them retire. He told them, I would tell them that we have a problem. We've got a national branding problem that is probably deeper than a lot of people suspect. Our party thinks maybe some things we're saying aren't coming through, but I think it's much deeper than that. People now believe that we, the Democrats, are more focused on social issues than the economy. And the economy is the number one issue right now, and it will be at Election Day. And then the Times asks, what drives this perception that Democrats are fixated on cultural issues? And he says, we probably haven't been as focused on the economy as we should be. I think some of that is of voters reading us talking about things that aren't economic issues. Part of it is just a natural reaction, too. We're in an economy they feel is tough. It's hard for them to think we've solved problems when they see so many. And then they ask, half the Democrats balance a commitment to core constituencies at the same time they're addressing economic issues that voters are confronting every day. That is a key issue. We will talk about that and the future of the economy with Peter Coy of the New York Times. Fascinating perspective. And we will also be reviewing a bunch of new movies, including the critically acclaimed The Power of the Dog, just released. That and more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.